Alright, starting the meeting, all board members are present. Item 1A, call to order and pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Did you turn that one on?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get my volume down here. Come on. Alright.
Item 1B, adoption of the agenda. Lisa?
Motion?
You good with the agenda? You good with the agenda?
I just read the agenda, I didn't read anything else, but I was fine with it.
Don? For adoption of the agenda?
Yeah, I don't have any problem with it.
No.
I would like to make a motion to adopt the agenda.
I second the motion.
Aye.
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 Send the agenda.
Number 2, call to the public. None. Number 3, consent agenda.
And just a real quick thing with the call to public. I am going to ask. I did talk to the kindergarten first grade teachers today. Linda was going to be here in person, so I didn't ask her for anything written. I have supplied you with something written from each kindergarten and first grade teacher on the bottom. That should be the last two pages in that little side stack that I left you. They each gave me their views on what we're talking about with that half-day kindergarten and junior first grade, what they wanted to comment on. But I knew Linda would be here, so I'll just have her comment, if that's all right with you guys, when we get to that at that point. Okay.
All right. Under consent agenda, approval of the minutes. I didn't see anything. It was good. Good. For the minutes.
Hi.
Our presentation of the March financial report.
Yes, as you see, on the vouchers for the month, I am doing expense voucher every week since we've had to go to non-contact. The county is mailing out the checks, so we're not going over there picking anything up. They're mailing everything to me. So I'm doing it every week just so we keep up on the bills, just in case someday I can't come down at all. So I'm going to keep up on the bills. So there'll be an expense voucher every week from now on to whenever. But the totals are fairly normal. The payroll total is right in with its bi-weekly payroll there. So we're with all funds, we're up to $2,000,006. But that is all funds. Capital, 510, student activity. So it's every fund that we've been paying out.
Not having the teachers here all day, has the expenses dropped in anything?
The expenses have dropped. The invoices and stuff. Doctors are not ordering anything.
Yeah.
But payroll is still consistent.
Yes, payroll too.
You save on electricity, you'll save on air conditioning, but we still.
Would that affect us in any way? In like, why you guys didn't use this much, and why you guys having.
No, special ed, we're actually working on mow maintenance as effort today. And that's the only area where they really look at how much you spent. Mm-hmm. And in special ed, it's kind of a weird thing, but if you spend $800 last year, you have to spend $801 this year or something's wrong.
Yeah.
And then you have to write this big, long, forgive me, but we had a high needs person leave or a high salary. You have to explain why you didn't spend more.
Yeah.
But that's the only area off the top of my head that I can think of where if we save money, it's a bad thing.
Oh.
So, I mean, otherwise the saving of, we're not wasting as much water, we're not using electricity, we're not running the bus, we're running a Suburban once a week instead of the bus. So we're saving wear and tear on that.
Our food service is right the same, this food service is the same because we're still pushing it out.
We're still, we're pushing out, but we're not bringing, we're, the only money we're bringing in is what we're being paid back for those meals.
Right.
So, yeah, and I'll talk about a little bit of that.
We won't see that for a while.
Yeah,
right,
we
yeah.
likely won't see that until well after this is all done.
And even, I think, when like when Bisbee went to the four-day work school week, they were saying doing that, saying that it's going to save them money. It doesn't. You still need all the people, maintenance, all that
yeah.
business.
Basically, so. The only thing you save is some of your hourly.
Right,
and
but
your,
it's not a great deal. It's not, you know, significant.
Yeah.
So what is on page 3, we pay $657 to service our copying machines?
That's several machines.
That's a contract. I think that's a contract.
So they do all of them?
We have a lot of machines. We have one in Miss Morgan's room. We have the one in the library. The one here. We have the one
in the elementary.
Do they service Mr. Rodriguez's too?
I don't know.
Okay, and then we have the one in the K through 2 wings.
Okay.
Also.
And then that doesn't include your office. So?
No, that's just a printer. And
so we're talking 5 or 6.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
But that's you just pay that, and then they just come and take care of everything.
I was just curious.
Yeah.
Because
mm-hmm.
usually, does they include the ink also? Or
no.
That's
no.
The
ink is free, part of the contract.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay.
So it doesn't say it does, but in a way, that's how they...
Yeah, because that's really...
It's not really free.
Right.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
It makes you feel better when you think it's free.
Yeah, it sounds good. I like the way it sounds, regardless.
Yeah.
I know, I taught economics. There's no such thing as a free lunch.
Yeah.
We called it tin staple. There's no such thing as a free lunch.
And then the maintenance guys, are they here? They're still here?
The grounds and custodian and maintenance are... I'm going to actually touch on that in my report, but they're... Everybody that's custodial and maintenance is working basically 50% of their hours right now.
Okay.
And that's just so we don't have so many people. For the next 2 weeks, that's the plan. My hope is that in 3 weeks, we'll be able to go to having 3 people on every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then my goal would be then the week after Easter, so 3 weeks from now, we're going to start cleaning the floors and everything. So
3 weeks from now? Easter's
right.
on Sunday.
This week, I'm counting this week.
Oh, okay.
This week, next week, and then the week after, I think that's the 17th, we're going to start trying to have at least 3 people, because to do the floors, you need 3 people, because there's 3 separate jobs, and you have to have guys in different footwear and everything to do it right. So then we'll start, and this year we're going to start with the gym and work our way this way, because it's easier to, usually that's the last thing you do, but this year it'll be the first thing. And then we give our teachers more time to get their classrooms done.
Oh.
And so the teachers right now are making appointments to come in and clean up their classrooms and get all the kids' stuff bagged up. So, like, if you looked right now in Ms. Franco's room, you would see black garbage bags on top of every desk. And what she did was she bagged up every kid's, everything that they have, and they were putting the names on. And then we're going to try to get the kids to come out and pick up all their stuff.
Now, what about the teachers? They're not going to do the deep clean on in their rooms.
Teachers are all we're going to do, the teachers are going to come in and they're going to, if they have something like a wall that they feel is bad or the custodians feel is bad, we're going to look at it and decide. But right now, unless we have a really bad wall to repaint or something, our plan is not to paint this year.
But the custodians are do all the deep cleaning of each one of the
individual. All of the rooms, yeah. They'll hit every room. I have had one request to, they feel their floor is really fine and in good shape, and they have everything right the way they want it. So they just kind of want it generally cleaned and then left. So Armando works tomorrow, so he and I are going to go talk, and we're going to take a look at the room and talk about it.
They're saying like 90 something degrees kills the virus, right?
Yeah, and
so is there something
after 3 days maximum on anything? I don't think they said it lives on any surface for more than 3 days.
Yeah.
So like what we've done is every room has been cleaned and disinfected at least twice.
Right.
So
you still have people
on,
coming and going though, right?
Right. Well, and from now on, what we're going to do is I'm going to have them every day hit all of the handles, door handles, doorknobs, everything that you could touch that way. Hit that with the disinfectant, and that's what we're going to hit along with what we're doing for our other jobs. Just because it's, they're saying that this 2 weeks is going to be the worst, but I mean, I don't know. I think Arizona's in the same situation as New York, or I think we're in a different time frame, but who knows?
Yeah.
The next thing we have is the approval of the March vouchers. We pretty much already kind of went over that.
Yeah.
And then Approve surplus items to dispose of to clean up our grounds and storage areas.
Okay, and there was one sheet in those extra pages that I gave you, and then there was front and back in your packet. Those are all the items that we have, and they basically just don't work or they're
We did mention last time that there was only maybe like...
We thought that a couple of the TVs worked, but when we plugged them in, we actually went out there on that Wednesday and plugged them in, and they did not work.
Okay. Yeah.
So then we just piled them on the thing and got rid of them. Once we got them plugged into straight power and they didn't work, there was no sense. The only things that we had out there, everything needed repair. There were a few things that people wanted for parts or different mm-hmm. things. But it wasn't anything you could sell.
Like the tiller and the lawnmower.
That old lawnmower that was all tore up and went run. Armando likes to tinker with that. And the tiller, it needs a new motor and whatever. So Mr. Hubbard wanted to take that and try to fix that. And, you know, so we had like five different people wanted one different thing each. So we just said that since there wasn't anything that was worth selling that we got rid of, that if they wanted to take it and get it out of here. And so we're really close. We still have some cleaning to do behind the, what are they called?
The Connexes.
Yeah, I always say conifers. I don't know why. But anyway, the Connexes out there, if you look behind them, it's still a little bit of a pigsty between that and the fence. So that's going to be cleaned up, and we're going to chop down there's some trees going through the fences. We're going to just clean that up. But I think it looks a whole lot nicer now than it did. And I know I thought, we'll have all this storage room, but then when we put the desks in there for many years.
Do you guys ever find people hiding in there anymore?
No. Well, they're all locked, so.
They used to still find people hiding in there.
Not that I know of.
You got the buses vandalized when they were all locked up in there one time.
Like the storage that are back there, like we're keeping the stuff, does that need maintenance itself?
You know, there's the one end of the one that's closest to the road, there's a little area on the top that there's some kind of a leak. So I actually talked to those guys about, do you know, you ever see those commercials where they spray that black crap and then it's supposed to be
the
really
great?
Rubber sealing
something stuff. Like that. So I said we should probably look for something like that, because there's a where we're getting a little bit of moisture in there, so we can't put anything. We actually had some old iMac computers down there, and then that's where.
Because if you're going to use it for storage and safe things that we might use later on, might as well fix it up that way.
Exactly. Well, so we don't ruin anything. Yeah. I mean, most of the stuff that we're storing in there is, right now it's desks, some tables, some, there's one set of lockers in there, or two sets. I don't know what.
Are those the lockers from the old building?
They're all, from...
I thought that they walked away.
No,
Marston said they walked away.
You got red ones. Oh, what were my ones?
Are they going to sell this stuff?
Actually, we kept the red ones.
Oh, the red ones.
Red ones we kept because they were deep enough that we could use things for the custodial.
But you didn't keep any others?
There's one, I think there's one set of the tan ones. There were two sets of them, and I think there's one set.
Oh, that was what was in our old school.
Mm-hmm. The red ones. I remember the red ones.
Yeah. So we're going to auction them off or what?
Well, if anybody wants them, I don't know.
Would they make a good, like, gun safe thing? You can lock them, right?
Kind of like open. I mean, you probably could cut through it with a real heavy-duty.
They're the ones with, they have, like, little holes.
The little dents
in
them.
The ones that were in the office, I mean, in the old building going down the middle.
Yeah, I remember
those
that.
Those were the original lockers.
Yeah. So, but the rest of the stuff we're going to keep, I mean, we've got, it's mainly desks, and then we have room to park the mower in there and, you know, some of that kind of stuff. So, but we got rid of a lot of things that we have, I don't know how many broken styrofoam things that they had used for either Christmas programs or something in years past. Mm-hmm. But
you didn't find any of those, what are they called, the things you sit on in the gym?
The bleachers?
The bleachers, you didn't find
any? Well, we have six that we can replace, but we have about 13 to replace, I think. Mm-hmm. So
did we do that with Marsh or Ward? What they did is when they ordered those darn things, they didn't figure it out right. And so if they're all the way out, they go into the basketball court.
Well, that and the flaw is that if you step on the back of them,
yes.
They break.
Yes.
They're terrible.
Because they do not hold weight. So they should have had, a lot of them today when they do like that, they have these like plastic riders that help support it about every foot and a half. And these don't, they have one about every 4 to 6 feet. Well, that doesn't do you any good.
Don't you think like our wooden ones we had, they were perfectly perfect.
Wooden
I mean,
ones were tough and
Yeah, they took those things out and put those garbage things in there.
They look fancy. They look fancy.
Yeah, but they're really flimsy and they're not very big.
And we will be, we're going to probably have to get somebody in this year to look at that to try to get it so it goes in and out better.
And the floor now, we're back down to what kind of flooring is in there?
It's wood.
Oh, because they put, they remember those tiles, those dumb other things? That was a big business mistake,
too.
Yeah,
there were some of them. Like,
that didn't last
we
long.
We got rid of those. Yeah.
No, so if you're not going to use them, might as well.
Oh, boy.
There we go. Dust, so.
All right, sorry about the questions there.
The next thing is a comment by me on the superintendent's evaluation from March 17 meeting. I think it went well. We had a lot of discussion, and I think we're going to be we're going to work well together. A lot of what we talked about, and I'm looking forward to another successful school year. And with that, I would like to make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second the motion.
Aye.
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 The first item I have up for action item is coming back with our tabled item. And I gave you options 1 and 2. I gave you the new ones in this, right? Yes, okay. So option 1 is just the easiest way to tell the difference. Well, it says on the bottom option 1, but it's the one with 3 days at Thanksgiving and 2 weeks at Christmas. And that was the one that had, I gave you guys the total, but I think it was like 16 to 9. And I think somebody came in and voted late, but I had already printed it, so I didn't add them. But I think it was 7. I think for some reason there was another person that wanted number 1. So that was their input. And so, you know, it doesn't really matter to me.
So which ones are the teachers wanting?
The teachers liked option 1 better than option 2.
Uh-huh.
Well, the teachers, paras, and custodians, and one bus driver. And the office people, I guess everybody got 2 votes.
So we have more votes for option 1.
One got 16 votes officially,
which
and one late
like?
Vote.
I'm not sure.
I have the list in my office. I can tell you who voted for what. Then it wouldn't be a free quiet.
I think the biggest difference is the December one, where you get the 2 weeks off.
You either get 2 full weeks
and
or
then,
you lose those 2 days.
And then, or option 2 is the one where you have to come Monday, Tuesday, and then you start Wednesday, and that's the 23rd, and then the 24th.
For
right.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then
so
the travel leave. No, that's for Christmas.
Yeah,
that's the Christmas one.
And then with option 1, you also go to school on April 30th, and I think on the other one you had the 30th off.
Right.
So, I mean, they all evened out. And our goal was to get it so we were done with school on the 20th or the 21st. Option 1 goes till the 21st and option 2 until the 20th. So,
I would go with option 1 since the teachers. That's the one the teachers voted.
Which one do you like best?
Just need a motion.
That's always a nice option because I can keep the vote.
I like option 1 more than
I prefer 1.
Cool. I would like to make a motion to approve option number 1 for the school calendar 2020-2021.
Second one motion.
Base of seconds.
Aye.
Aye.
In your packet, I gave you, I don't know, is it 9 pages, something like that. I mentioned to all of you on this one. As I read through it, I understand why they're going, why they're recommending these two policies. These policies both deal with the COVID-19. They deal with the sick leave allotment, which we talked about at the last meeting, that if anybody came down and needed or had a family member with COVID-14 or COVID-19, that we would have a 14-day sick leave built in, and they would not be charged their normal sick leave for that. The one policy basically puts that into effect. The second policy puts into effect the telecommunication policy for teaching online. And I get it, in a big school district, you want to make sure everybody's lined up and everybody's doing exactly the same thing, but we're a small district and we're already all doing the same thing. And since only 10% of our kids have internet, our staff all has done a website. Mr. Rodriguez put it together for everybody. And for those people that were a little more challenged in that regard, he actually did the website for them. We are putting the assignments and things on that. But basically, even the kids who have the internet come and get the packets, because the parents don't want to run the printers to copy off all the pages that they'd have to copy off. So I just don't. I mean, honestly, and this is totally up to you guys, because these are your policies. I just feel like to implement these two policies are things that, first of all, we already decided we were going to follow through with the sick leave anyway. And that's how we plan on doing it. And so if that's what we already said, to put this in just for this COVID-19 outbreak, or if it happened again in the fall, to me is kind of
redundant.
Well, it's just, I don't like to react to something and put something in place just because something happened one time. I mean, as long as that we all know that that's the policy we're going to follow. Donna knows that, so she's, keeping track of it. I don't really feel like that policy is that important because we're already there. And then the second one about the telecommunications, I guess if it gets to the point where we can't start the school year and we had to start that way and we were able to line up, 30 hotspots, and we could get them spread out over to all of the kids in areas so that all of our kids could get internet. But I think we're in a different situation than, Mesa that's got 60 schools. I just feel like these policies were kind of written for the bigger schools.
Well, and typically, it is not unheard of for us to not accept the things handed down from the state. Normally, we do because it applies in some way. But like if something we disregarded them before when it was something that applied to a high school or something of, like you said, Tim, Mr. Macklin, is a larger school and a higher population. So I think you're right on with that.
And I do know where some of this for that technology resources came from, because teachers were told you're going to teach online, but they weren't ever trained. And so, like, in the bigger districts, they're teaching online where they have 90% of their kids or more that have the internet and have a machine of their own, but then they didn't have any training as far as how to do everything, how to, I've had schools before where we had Schoology where we taught online. So if a kid was on a bus on a three-hour trip somewhere for a football game, they could just turn the computer on and they got the class, and that's really cool and neat. But we don't have that. We don't pay that huge fee because it doesn't generally affect us that way. And ultimately, if a teacher wanted to do a flipped classroom, which they could do with this, all they need to do is talk with Mr. Rodriguez or Ms. Morgan, and they can figure out how to do that for their kids to have that information and be able to do that type of technology. I just don't feel... And then the other part of it was they recommend that we take... policy BGB and suspend it and then do this immediately, and then we put policy BGB back in place, which BGB is that we don't have to read the policies twice to adopt them. And I just feel like
isn't that really applicable to us?
I don't think it does. Now, I mean, if I'm missing something or
they're just covering their bases, I think, and it doesn't really apply.
That's why I wanted you guys to read it too, but yeah. When I went through it, I was just feeling like we've already covered this. We covered the biggest one to me was the sick leave, because we're not teaching online.
Mm-hmm. Is there any repercussions if we don't?
No.
We can do it if whatever we want.
You have the option anytime they recommend. It's just the
that's
only thing.
Now, the ones that Mr. Rodriguez has and yourself have made, can you see if how many people have logged in?
No, that's not information.
That's
we have.
Not. Okay.
Yeah.
I see a lot of our kids. This is kind of an in progress area.
Do you think a lot of kids log in to that to get their homework there? I know mine doesn't. If I see something, gets it here.
Yeah. The only benefit is if somebody puts like Miss Bruno puts her book online, so that they've got the pages there.
Okay.
And so that she was assuming that all the kids got that. Well, they don't. So now we have to, because her assignments are going to be correlated through the book. Now we have to go in and print. Because we can't send books home because we just aren't ready.
What about your little people? Well, they're obviously not have.
They do packets.
They do
2 weeks worth.
And that's working well.
But I also have it set up like that my email's there. And so last night I got my first email from one of my little guys.
Oh, you did?
So just to say, hey, I'm doing okay. And
that's cute.
Like, and he's real proud that he's doing his work, but they pick up the packets for them because kindergarten, we do a lot of my children have problems cutting and their fine motor skills. So a lot of stuff we send home is cutting and trying to get those better for them.
Good. Thanks.
I think we should probably go with Mr. Macklin's recommendation on not approving.
I would just say let's table it. And then we'll just, I mean, if there's a reason why, but right now, I don't see it.
Do you really want to table it? I don't have any reservation about suspending it, really.
Because it's like you said, it's different. I mean, hotspots, okay, we can put hotspots, but are they going to get down in Aco Sonora? Of course not. So, we're not going to.
So I guess I would just say, let's just table these, and we'll let them sit, and we'll see. If we find part of it that we need, maybe that's something we bring in and we add to our policy versus, and Candy's been out. Candy, our attorney, is became grandma and baby is in Hawaii. So I think she should be back here. But
we're seeing less of her, I bet you.
Yeah. So anyway, I'll shoot her an email and just say, we don't feel that this is beneficial. I want you to take a look at the thing and since our cars is covered anyway, and
get some legal advice.
Right. Yeah. Make sure that we're doing what is good for our area, not just what's good for Phoenix, Tucson.
Okay. So I would like to make a motion to table action item B, so that we can get some legal advice pertaining to policies GCCA and GBKA.
I second the motion.
Alicia seconds.
Aye.
Aye.
How I did it was I just put down table until further notice after legal advice. Good?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Action item C. Approve a list of certified staff to offer contracts to as soon as it can be drawn up.
All right. So on here I coded this, not to be tricky, but just so that if there's a question about any individual on that list, you can refer to them by A1, B1, C1, all the way down to A4. If anybody has a question, I would recommend that we offer contracts to these teachers, but not room assignments yet. I'm still working on that.
This is not all true. This is who we have on staff right now.
This is nothing new. Yep.
Right.
This is everybody.
This is these are the certified staff that have not said that they were not coming back.
And you want to offer all of them except A4?
Right. I would say right now I don't feel comfortable not offering A4. I feel like we have to offer all of them because I feel if I'm not going to offer someone, I want to have very solid documentation of why I'm not offering that contract. I don't want to end up in court because somebody feels that I just don't like them. Mm-hmm. And I think I need one more year to make sure I have that documentation complete because there was a hole in the there are different things in the file. But
this last year there wasn't there like some health concerns and so forth.
Oh, yeah, but that's something
you can't do anything about that.
Right. If you wanted to terminate someone.
But I'm just saying, how does she feel about carrying on for another year? When it's obviously been a struggle.
I got everything back from everybody on this list that they wanted to return. There were a couple people who asked about possibly being put in different positions. So I'm looking at everything because I don't want to do something that I don't think would make us better. She's got to go one more year. She can't.
Who are we talking about?
Can't.
E3.
Yeah. She needs one more year so that she can make it to her insurance.
I think Mr. Matheson is right, offering all of them until we can get some documentation in place to justify why A4 would not get a contract.
But we're still offering.
Yes, we would offer, but
it'll be up to her.
This is the plan, just so you know. We're going to, and I will send you guys a copy of it. We're working on revising our contract offer right now. So there actually will be they have a certain amount of time to say yes or no, and then on there there'll be a clause that'll say if you want out of your contract after this date, it will cost you this much, whatever. The other thing is we're going to offer a position, but not the assignment yet. Mm-hmm. My hope is to have the assignments figured out before May 1st. I hope that before we have our next meeting, I have that all done.
The assignment is not a contract, right?
Assignment. A contract means you've got a job and you're a teacher, but you might be teaching kindergarten or you might be teaching seventh grade science.
Right.
You know. Whatever you're licensed for. We can't put somebody in the classroom against their wishes if they're not licensed for that.
And this does all other duties that's assigned to cover your basis for and so forth.
So, we don't have anybody else on the list, but we only have one person that's a special ed licensed teacher, so I can almost guarantee that's where she's going to be.
Yeah, makes sense.
I mean, you know, so.
Not a gamble there.
Right, no. So that's what I would say, and then we're just going to get that information back. Once we get that information back, we will let the teachers know or email out their contracts to them. They will have 15 days to get them back to us, and then when we, I think it's 15, it's 10 or 15. And then once we get them back, hopefully by that time we'll even have the assignments.
So this isn't really a test, but why don't we go the rundown, tell us which level who's at, like A1 is.
As of this year?
Yeah.
If I do that, then I'm basically telling you who the person is.
Well, I'm just talking about A1. Oh, you don't want to do that even if they're...
Yeah, because it will help identify who the persons are.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But I can answer any, you know...
That's okay.
Other things. But
somehow I was just having a dilemma about a couple of them because I couldn't remember. That's all. So it's no big deal.
One thing's for sure is we're doing this in April.
Right.
And it's good because now the teachers know that they have a job.
My goal is always by April 15th. So, I mean, I don't like to do anything after April 15th. I would have liked to have had the non-certified, but I'm trying to work through a couple of things that I'm going to talk about in my report yet. So we probably will have to do that at the May meeting, but that's still going to be earlier than we did it last year.
I think that's okay to do them separately. I mean, I don't think you have to come down with the whole entourage all at one time. That's fine. Okay.
Yeah, last year we were pretty much in the summer already. And
I was here when you did them all. Yeah. So.
Do you want to make a motion?
Yes. I motion to approve the list of certified staff and offer contracts.
I'll second that motion.
Aye.
Action item D. Presentation discussion possible vote on hiring another fifth grade teacher for the 2020-2021 school year to allow the splitting of the upcoming fifth grade class.
Obviously, we need the numbers. We need another one because the numbers are so high in that level. So I don't really see where we have an option there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there are a couple things I'll talk about real quick. Mr. Olmos, you seconded that.
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry, I switched it up.
It goofed it up when Romero made the motion.
Of course.
All right. So We're going to have, this year our fourth grade has 18 and 18, so 36 kids. That's just too big to have. I mean, you know, if we're a ninth grade class, 36, fine, you know, 10th grade, 11th grade, but 5th grade, that's too many. The nice thing is we do have this room, which is right next door, and I guess what I'm looking at with the 5th grade is, with 4th grade, we started that continuation, we started with the specialization of teaching, where we had English, reading, social studies in one classroom, math and science in the other. I'd like to continue that idea with the 5th grade and have two teachers so that all of our 5th graders are circling back and forth between both teachers. My goal would be that I can come back to you in May with the assignments for our staff that we now have in place, and then just kind of playing it. I'm probably going to end up doing phone interviews for the applicants after we get everything posted, and maybe by the May meeting even, hopefully. I don't think we're going to be able to do in-person interviews probably until June.
What are you thinking? Are you thinking about the newspaper? Are you thinking about going?
Well, I want to put it on the state site. I held off putting the last one in there just because I knew that I was going to bring this to you guys, and I wanted to make sure. I want to post 2K through 8 positions.
So you're going to put 8 on ABE?
Right, because I have some people who have asked to move, and I need to look at that and see where we would be, and I also need to see who applies and where their strengths would be.
So you want two positions?
We already have a second grade position we know. I'd like to add this fifth grade position. The way we would pay for this fifth grade position, half of it would come out of Title I, classroom reduction, and half of it would come out of M&O. And so...
So the classes will not be separated as a, like they normally, like it was done in the past where these kids need more help than these fifth graders?
We're not going to do like ELL students and non-ELL.
So it would be like the teachers will be giving the class like twice a day.
They would have each group twice for two different periods, yes. Okay. And in third grade, what we did, because the teachers came to ask me this year, was we did take the kids with reading and with math, and we did divide them by ability. So the kids that were high in math went with one group and one teacher taught them. Kids that were low in math went with another teacher, and then halfway through the year they flopped. Kids that were high in reading went with one teacher. Kids that were low in reading went with the other teacher, and then they flopped. And that worked really well, and then they had the regular teacher, you know, the regular classrooms for social studies. So they actually, as third graders, had four different classrooms in a way. Because they were high math and low math, high reading and low reading, which wasn't exactly the same. Mm-hmm. And then they had Ms. Dietrich's room and Ms. Torres' room. So they had, you know, four different groups they were at. And I was glad when they came, actually, because they were struggling because they had some kids in math that were here and some, you know, and same with reading. It's way easier to take the group that are closer and go and then catch the other ones up with remediation. Ultimately, from third grade on, we're doing something like that. And the only one, fifth grade, we had just had one classroom because it was a small class of 23. So the next year we'll have fifth grade. But the plan would be that we would have two teachers and they would both co-teach in a way similar to how we did fourth grade this year. So.
You want to make a motion? I would like to make a motion to approve the hiring of a teacher.
Second
motion. Second,
aye.
Aye. All right. Action item E: presentation, discussion, possible vote on moving kindergarten back to half days. The schedule would look like this.
I don't remember when we moved it to full day.
Well,
we didn't used to have it like that.
I was trying to gather history, and so I believe that and I don't know how many years ago, and maybe Linda can remember, but the state changed the funding to if you had full-day kindergarten, you got a full ADM.
Right.
And they left it that way for just a couple of years, and then they went back to only giving you a half an ADM, even if you had a full-day kindergarten.
Right.
So right now, we get a half an ADM for a full day of kindergarten. So we recoup half of the money, and one of the reasons you would do that is because the argument is the longer that we have them here, the more they're here, the better they're going to be, the farther they're going to get, the faster they're going to learn. What we've found out literally is I can almost guarantee if you walk into the office between 12 and 1:30, you're going to find anywhere from 1 to 4 kindergartners in there.
You know,
that's the God honest truth. And they have hit the wall. They are done. They are not ready for social anything. They want things their way. They don't. They're great in the morning. I get very few kids in the morning. I mean, I got one kindergartner the last 3 weeks of school, and he got sent to the office because he pulled his shirt up and showed his stomach to one of the other kids, and I thought, good Lord, my grandson's in trouble because he's proud of his belly. So so we talked about it, and we just said, we got to keep the shirt on. It's okay. You can do that later on or at home.
Really?
But it was, I don't know. I don't know why.
Anyway. But that's all he's doing. That's amazing.
But up until lunchtime, we really don't have a lot of issues. They're pretty focused. And then after they come back in from lunch and recess, it's really
nap time.
Yeah. So if we have kids,
do they ask
and they
for
come
nap time after lunch or during the day,
they're all bouncing around.
So I have a couple that will, if their heads get down on the table, they're gone. But it's very cute.
It's a lot like. You got a couple people trying to nap, and you got rubber super balls flying all over the room. the rationale with it, I think I lumped these two together, this one and Junior first. The rationale being, we have to give them a solid foundation by the time they're third graders. The kids coming into kindergarten, they come in and they do their academics. They're done with academics in 3 hours. And so they don't really get academics in the afternoon if they're there for the whole day. So from when I talked with the kindergarten teachers, basically it was like if we went from 8 to 11 and we fed them lunch and then we took and sent them home and we had the other kids come in at 11:30 and we fed them lunch and then we started class, they would be focused for the afternoon. We wouldn't, I'm not going to say we wouldn't have any issues. The first month and a half, we're going to have somebody crying under the table, and we already know that. I'm willing to bet it'll be Mott's room, but it's really due for Parker's room this year. But, you're going to have some of that because it's the first time they've left home. It's all that. And that's another reason why that 3 hours makes sense.
So
break them in. Teach them lessons. Teach them to get used to a structured day.
It's usually the parents that are opposed to it because they want you to just keep them
for
the day.
They want this to be daycare.
Oh yeah,
and the problem is that right now parents are not sending their kids to Head Start. They're not sending their kids to preschool.
And they need to.
And they're coming here with absolutely no English ability.
Right.
And so those three things,
it holds back everybody.
So then that's why it ties into Junior First. You go to that. The kids are either going to be, honestly, they're going to be either ready for kindergarten, and after half a day of academics, they're going to be ready for first grade, or they're not going to be ready for first grade. And keeping them an extra 3.5-4 hours isn't going to change that. What it will do, though, is it does make it a little more difficult for parents. So we would have to provide a bus home. We would have to provide bus rides home.
Do the majority of the kindergartners ride the bus?
I had one. Aaron had one. The twins.
Well, that's it. Because most of them walk from across.
Sometimes, but the one that sometimes went out.
They wouldn't take a bus. They would take
the
Suburban if we have enough.
Because they usually come to the other side, most of them anyway, don't they? But that's why they don't need the bus, basically.
Could be.
Yeah.
Tim's learning.
There's a rumor.
How are you going to identify who's going to go in the morning?
So we talked about that too, and I guess we've done it different where I've been. Generally speaking, if you give people the option, do you want your child to come in the morning or the afternoon, almost every year, it's worked out just about perfect.
Because some parents don't want to get up in the morning.
Like, here's the way I, the way, yeah, that's true.
Get them off to school.
That's definitely true.
It's the parents. Exactly.
But if we end up, say we have 42 kids again, right? If we had, or we had 40 kids, if we had 11 that wanted morning, 22 that wanted morning, and 18 that wanted afternoon, you go 11 and 9, 11 and 9, boom. That's okay. It doesn't have to be 10 and 10, 10 and 10.
Right.
You know, but if you've got 35 that want the morning and 5 that want the afternoon, you know, when you have them sign up, you say, we're asking for your preference, but there's no guarantee.
And then you have to draw from a hat.
Then what you do is, the people that bring it back first, you look at it. That's one thing you keep in mind. The second thing you keep in mind is if you have any past knowledge and you know that they're going to be like an Ever-Ready Bunny with a quarter stuck in a nickel slot, you don't want four of them in one classroom. You know, you want to spread that out, spread the love out a little
bit. Who makes that decision?
Well, that was, I mean, we tried that last year. I mean, I sat down and I looked at classes and I thought, you don't have any information. I mean, the only thing you have is if there's special ed information because they were identified as a, you know, 0 to 3.
Missy Reyes knows who a lot of those people are.
Well, yeah,
from the other side.
She knows some,
yeah,
but not all. But, I mean, so I tried. But it's a crapshoot with the kindergarten. I'm not going to lie. There's no science to it. The thing is we always had a kindergarten roundup, and then we brought all the kids in, and then we had these little testing sites, and we had specialists do hearing and eyes and all that kind of stuff. But then we kind of watched how they handle social things.
Is this on the reservation?
In South Dakota and off the reservation. We did. In Minnesota and South Dakota, it was mandatory. You had to have a kindergarten roundup.
That's smart.
And they all the kindergarten kids came in. They all did their testing. But then it helped us because now we are going to,
got
four kindergarten classes. We know how we can divide them.
Right.
You know, because you got at least somebody that tried to sit down with them and look at a puzzle or colors or whatever, try to get them to count. But could the kids sit, or were they destroying things? Were they throwing things? You know, were they just quiet, shy, and never said a word and didn't do it? You know, all that stuff. And they made notes about that. So we had those notes to do that.
Well, that's smart.
So, yeah. But I just don't know what we'd get for a turnout, and this year is going to be a...
And it never, you never know. And a lot of times they just come trickling in even after school starts.
Oh, yeah.
Weeks, you know.
It's open season.
A line outside the door on the first day of school.
I know.
Where were you?
Yeah, October. Exactly. Yeah. We still had kids come in October. As long as they get here before a cutoff date,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's the big thing for me is that we get a cone so we get aid. And then the other thing with the junior first grade. Right now we have kindergarten. And then after kindergarten, you have either kindergarten retention or you have first grade. And so there's a real stigma there with parents of, I don't really want to leave them in kindergarten. I had good luck with the junior first grade because it was a promotion.
Right.
And most of the time, parents can tell if their kids are ready or not. They go into junior first, and all of a sudden, they flourish and take off. You know, you have the ability at the end of a quarter or whenever to move them into a regular first grade room, or even at the end of the year, if they just blew through junior first, they might be ready for second grade because they matured and took off.
Mm-hmm.
So you always have that ability. So it's not these kids are definitely never, they're not going to be able to do it, but we're going to get them some more time. Because if we don't have that foundation educationally by the time they get into third grade, they're not going to get it. You don't make that up in fourth, fifth, and sixth grade. You either have it by the time you're in third grade, or you don't have it.
It'll really help them a lot as they advance at the levels, too, I think, instead of just keeping them behind or throwing them into first when they're not prepared. I think that's a great idea.
Well, and think of it. You've got a five-year-old kid coming to school, and they don't hear English. And now they're going to only learn in English.
Right.
So, I mean, you
know, it
could be a year and a half before they're comfortable and all of the wires are connected.
And they say 3 years, really.
Well, but I mean, until you start to, so that's where the junior first thing, it's like, if they really need all that time, they just had 2 years of school now. Now they're ready for first grade.
Right.
And, you know, okay, it's okay if they're moving slower, but most of the kids that they were with in junior first grade are in first grade now, so it's okay. It's still my class.
So how are you going to find a somebody? Are you going to need somebody else to teach a junior?
I told Ms. Mott today and Ms. Rhodes that if we approve this, then what I need to do is they need to sit down with me and they need to go through their list, because I know like one of the teachers has three kids that I believe are going to be retained, and the other teacher I thought had a couple. So if we have five or six kids that are retained out of 42, then we're down to 36. So if we have 15 kids that need junior first, we're sitting at 20 or 21 kids that are first graders. We probably just have the teachers we already need. One of them just teaches first, one teaches junior first. If we only have 8 or 10 kids that need junior first, then we got to figure out the solution for that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's why, another reason why I want, when I post this, I just want to post it. It just gives a little more freedom to what we've got. I mean, we've already had three or four people that have applied. And
we might need a fifth grade and second grade right now.
We'll see how the junior first goes. I just know that Erin had a lot of kids that she was concerned about that she didn't feel were going to be completely ready for first, and Ms. Mott's expressed some concerns. So if we have 14 to 16 kids that would be in that junior first grade, you'd have 14 to 16 there and 21 in the other one, that pretty much balances.
And then if they're in the junior first grade, they have a chance to move into second grade.
They still could.
But if they're still, you know, having issues, they'll go to first grade.
The curriculum that we're going to do is we're going to take the second half of the year curriculum for kindergarten, mm-hmm. and the first half of the year curriculum for first grade, and that's what we're going to use for junior first. And the other nice thing is with that group is that you're going to get one ADM for each of them. So you get a count, one daily membership for each kid, not a half. Like if we would have retained them in kindergarten, you still only got a half. So that's the advantage. And again, I guess I would probably have a better solid plan number-wise for you guys at the May meeting, because I'll have the lists from both teachers then.
It's still hard because, I mean, it changes and shifts, you know, until even after school starts. So.
Well, numbers do, and the other thing is the kids mature. Mm-hmm. I mean,
you hope.
Every kid, they do. It's just some of them much slower than others.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, you get some of those girls that they're in fourth grade and think they're juniors, and then you get some of those boys who are juniors and wish they were still in fourth grade. So, you know, I mean, they all mature at a different, and sometimes when things click for them, then they can take off.
Right.
But you have to, you know, you just can't force the issue sometimes.
You want to make a motion?
To hire the Papa Bowl? No, to...
If the motion would be to go to half-day kindergarten,
uh-huh.
and to... Look, or plan on implementing a junior first grade program.
Okay, so I motion to
just that first line right there.
To split the kindergarten.
To
right.
To split kindergarten into half days.
Split kindergarten into half days, morning and afternoon, and to implement the junior first grade.
All right,
I'll second that.
Aye.
Next time we got the superintendent's report.
I waited until 2 o'clock to start typing it today because it's a habit.
I have this habit of whenever I start typing up a report, I get way too detailed in my report.
Yeah. One thing that I got this afternoon from Candy at 2:45 was an email, and she just said that there are a lot of boards statewide, and especially in our area, who are looking into doing Zoom meetings or telephonic meetings. She just said, keep that in mind, and you know, make sure that all of your, whatever you're doing, is best ideas for staying safe. She also said, quick proximity. Yeah, well, and we tried to spread it out today. So
in all the public, we have to worry about.
Right. Well, that's it. I said if we have three more people show up, we're in trouble. If four people came, we would have put somebody in. The last person to come would have to stand up there by the door. But the thing that she did say was, if you do a board meeting telephonically, in other words, basically it would just be either Donna and I, or maybe just me here on site, that you make sure that. She said, don't be surprised if you go to a telephonic or internet meeting or Zoom meeting, that if all of a sudden people think they want to attend a meeting. So you need to make sure that the public has the ability to get and hear the meeting. So that was just her advice. She said, because it seems like now more people want to attend meetings because of that.
Yeah, be careful with those meetings, because now they're being hushed.
Oh, really? Okay.
Also, I don't know if it was ADE. I thought that's what I read this morning. ADE is Washington, D.C., ADE, is talking about not using Zoom because too many people are attaching and getting in.
Zoom is one of the websites that got hacked, and they went into everybody.
Okay.
So we have to be careful. If you do it, be careful with it.
One thing we talked about last year was... if people are really interested in attending the meetings, but they can't, is having it on like a social media live, like the Facebook live video.
There are schools that do that. The only thing that we'd have to do would basically be then you'd want to find somebody. The logical person would be like Mr. Rodriguez, and you'd hire Mr. Rodriguez. That would be an addition on his job, and you'd pay him to post the meetings. The other thing, if you do that, is then you just take that and you put it on your website, and you're covered for your minutes. You still want to have written minutes, but
which is what you're doing right now anyway.
Right, but then you're covered for your minutes.
You don't have to type them up anymore?
Well, no, I'd still have to type them up because we'd have to have a written record.
Yeah.
But for the sake of the public being able to access it, you're covered there.
Oh, okay. Instead of posting the audios on the website, please.
The only thing you have to be really careful about on that is, you know, somebody shows up from the public and they start screaming about an employee and they're upset about something. Mm-hmm. That is really hard to. You got to have some kind of a delay built in, because you got to be able to shut that down, because you can't have that name going out over the public.
And you can't anticipate when that's going
to
happen.
And you don't know. That's why I said you have to have a delay built in, or you know, like you start taping it. And you feed it, but you the meeting starts at 5:15. You start the feed at 5:30, so it's a 15-minute delay. So you know when Joe Psycho comes in and starts screaming, you can stop it and skip that little bit.
Well, now you told me.
I know. So I just if you put it on, but there are a lot of people who do it on Facebook. It's just. You know, they all have to have that way. And a lot of them that do that are the bigger schools that have that, type of sport. But we have a little camera. That would be a little more difficult with the little camera, but it'd be something that could.
I think it's important if you were to come to the school and go to the meetings. That's what I think.
This is a really nice camera.
Yeah, it is.
I think right now, last few meetings, we haven't had
a lot of
people
excitement.
Show up. So,
I know.
In my opinion, once we start getting more people and that are interested, maybe something to consider
and,
at that point.
And I'll tell you, if we have anything controversial come up and the COVID is going on, that's something we probably should at least visit at that point.
Well, nobody shows up unless there's a hoedown going on.
And they might not find out there's a hoedown.
And last year, people were videoing the meetings and posting it on all kinds of stuff.
They did.
Yeah.
All right. Well, when we're done with the meeting, if you would like to, we can show you the ELL library. It's one of our Title III mm-hmm. programs. We have purchased, Jewel put together a list and did, I don't know how many hours, weeks of work and thousands of dollars. But we found books that at least half of the ones we've purchased are English on one page, Spanish on the other page, so that when the kids take them home and read, if they can't read the word in English, they can see it in Spanish, so mom and dad can sit with them, and even if mom and dad can't speak English, they can talk and maybe get through it. So so we have that. We are actually also, to go along with that, one thing Miss Morgan has on her plate is to try to find some pamphlets that we can send home to help parents with ideas that are translated in Spanish. We have almost everything in English, but we don't necessarily have a lot that's in Spanish for us, so we're trying to find that. So my report, first of all, we've got staff. They're making appointments by the day to come into the building. They call Miss Elias and schedule Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or not Fridays. They can come into this area, the K2 wing, the 3-4 wing, or the 6-7 and 8 area. And then they come in and they get at least one day. I had a teacher that came in that needed her second day today, so she came back went through, got all the kids' stuff bagged up, like I said before, got all of her books put back where they needed to be, got all of, you know, everything straightened up, desk cleaned out, so that, because when they take the desks out, half the time they'll tip them upside down, put them so you have two teacher's desks on top of each other. So if you don't take all your stuff out, it ends up all over the floor. And, you know, sometimes you don't want all that out there or something to get broken. So we haven't cleaned their desks out. So they're doing that, and they're also every 2 weeks they're going to be calling the kids on their class list. So right now, our middle school staff are calling their first hour kids, and all of our other teachers are calling their kids. And then middle school will get a different hour after Easter. They'll be calling the week after Easter for a different class period, and then a different class period, and then a different class period. So I think that just to make contact with the kids. We're still struggling to get a hold of some. You know, we've got bad numbers and bad connections and those kind of things, but most of the teachers are down to where they only have two or three that they haven't been able to get a hold of. So they're charting that and keeping a hold of that, and then we'll have that for just data if the state needs to know some of the things that we did. Our custodians are working half days. They're splitting, half time. They're all working two full days. We're asking them to work 9 or 10 hours, 2 days instead of 40 hours over 4 or 5 days. And then we're splitting it up so we have a couple of people here each day. And the one thing we will start doing every day that we haven't been doing every day is cleaning the doorknobs and handles. I was talking to somebody today and they mentioned that they were doing that, and I thought that's a good idea. Just, it doesn't take very long, and we can take our germicide and go and do that real quick. Then we're going to be starting in the gym, and we're going to be working our way through the middle school and then into the elementary with our cleaning. We'll have the gas company coming. I think I talked about it a couple of months ago because they were going to come and then they changed their mind. So we don't know exactly when. They're supposed to get a hold of me before the end of the week before they come. And so it could be next week or the week after or whenever. But when they come, we're also, when they dig up that sidewalk and everything out there, all the concrete, then we're going to also have, we're going to get down and look at the plumbing because we think we have a leak in the water line coming in from the street over here. And so we want to get that fixed since they're already going to have it all torn up anyway. And I'm hoping that they'll just tear all that cement out instead of that stupid little zigzag cut that they had, and then maybe put in a new sidewalk for us. But they will fix everything and replace it, they said, so because they have to put a new meter in. If you've been watching the news, you know, we're just in a different situation, and because with all of the things we're doing, supplying lunch, supplying homework, and all the other things, right now they're just starting to see, the last I saw of the news anyway, which was Saturday, I guess, They were just starting to see the things taking off in Latin America right now. So, you know, hopefully we are able to keep tabs on that. And, you know, the PPE is an issue for us, masks. We've been out of masks for about a week and a half for serving meals and things. Most of the people keep the same mask, so that's great. We have something for them. But we have plenty of rubber gloves, but we don't have any masks. So I asked Jackie Clay if she can find us some.
I have one.
Well, I don't want to steal your personal stash, but if your office has some.
No, not over there. My other job.
Oh, okay. Oh, for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they're not the...
All we have is just the plain, plain white ones. But we were ordering them and using them with a special ed student. And then we were running low,
mm-hmm.
so we ordered in February, I want to
mm-hmm.
say.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still on back order.
Oh, they're supposed to be shipped next week. We'll see if that gets postponed.
There's been a big crisis people getting them.
Right, yeah. It's,
and I guess Canada was mad. They're supposed to send them a bunch of them, and then we didn't have any to send them. So now they're all mad about it.
We're not the only ones that don't have an issue with it. But one of the things that we did with all the superintendents, they had us do a survey, and the things some people were asking for, like 100 computers and all these hotspots and whatever. And I just said, I'll take all that stuff, but really, I just need masks, and I need a couple of really big coolers so we can deliver food and it can stay cold or warm. Because I've been bringing my cooler down, and then I've got another small cooler, and then we've got a big one from the school. But it's just to try to keep the cold stuff cold and the hot stuff hot. It's a bit of a challenge sometimes. So Monday we served 100. I already have that. I won't say it then. We got all our grants completed for this past year now, and we are working on the 2021 grants. They are due by May 1st. So our goal is that they're all be done by next Friday. So if Donna's hair turns gray and she doesn't have any hair, you'll know that she's been working very hard at that. The one problem is that when you complete the grants, you need to get them done. If you get them done on time, A, they're usually a little easier on you, and B, you're ahead of the game. If you get it done late, they also don't approve you to spend any money until you have your loan, your grant.
Who do you have writing the grants?
Well, Ms. Morgan writes some of the grants, and then
it's kind of a joint effort. You have to have like a text part, what they call a plan,
mm-hmm.
and then that has to dovetail very closely with the financial numbers.
Right. So you and Don have been kind of.
Yeah.
There's a whole process
right.
because we had to do a. We had to sit down with the staff, and we had to go through and answer all these questions and figure out where our biggest weaknesses and where we needed to improve and how we needed to improve and where we should spend money. And then we got the staff together, and they took each an area, and they had to do these fish bones, which means pick a problem and then try to find solutions for that problem, and then get from one end of the fish to the other end of the fish, and you know all that. It's a whole interesting process, but. Anyway, generally speaking, that we've been kind of behind the eight ball for the last two or three years. It's been done late, and so our goal is that we're going to have it done on time so that we can start spending our money on July 1. So that's what we're working on right now. We had our blower go out, you know, our high-powered blower that you had to have 48 cords just to reach anywhere to.
You didn't have like a leaf blower?
Yeah, I was outside blowing, and it started making
noise. I was curious about that. Where did the leaves go?
And it started to smell something, so I unplugged it, and then it went.
I think
smoke. So it died, and we put it on the trailer.
Why not get a gas one?
We got a battery one. It was really cheap, and it's one of those Ion. Ryobi ones, we just ordered it, got it from Home Depot, and works pretty slick. That was my thing, was gas, but the problem that Evan brought up was, well, you know, we're always running to get gas because we have a small gas tank, and it's like, okay, we can buy a bigger gas tank, But anyway, we were always running out of gas, and then we got to run all the way up to Speedway or wherever to get gas. And so it worked out. Donna found this one. And
we went 110 miles an
110
hour.
110 miles an hour, baby. It's got a little turbo button on it. So get a little acorn.
I
would
be fighting over that thing.
I tested that baby out today. That was good.
And there was a line of guys wanted to do that, I bet.
Yeah. I got one at home that goes about 150, so but it's got to have a cord. And cords out there don't work very well, so it was good. But so we did spend that, so you will see that coming through next time. Lunches, we served 150. We've been anywhere from as low as 129 to as many as 170, or 70 something. We had 200 made last week, and then Trump made that, announcement on Sunday. So everybody thought the border was closed, and then nobody came. So then we only got rid of 129, so we had 71 meals.
Well, when the word gets out that they're not shut down, then you're going to get more.
Right. And so then this week, then everybody came. So I put out that we were going to make 150, and when they're gone, they're gone. And so we did 150, and the law is if a child shows up and they are anywhere from 0 to 18, they get a meal even if they don't attend your school. And so we did have kids from Bisbee come because Bisbee's changing their schedule and everything.
Are they still bringing people down?
They come down to the corner, but
I
told them to park out front, and they just don't listen very well. So
yeah.
I don't know, but the kids, we do it right out here, and they see us. We're right in the open. It's easy. But we had probably 20-25 kids from Bisbee.
Yeah, it seemed like that.
And then when we were done, because we ran out at about 11:30, and then we had about another 40 or 45 people that came.
Oh,
so
wow.
We could have given away that many more meals.
It's hard to estimate, though. You don't get stuck with stuff.
Well, that's because we're doing hot food, too. So, we made 3 hot meals. So we would have got, if we made 200 and 140 show up, we got to throw 180 meals away.
Right.
So
it's hard to predict.
We only get reimbursed for how many come and pick them up. Mm-hmm. But we do get that's the one thing is we do get reimbursed for every meal that anybody picks up, even if, we have some 1-year-olds coming.
Can you give extras? Can you give extra food to the kids?
All we can do is the kids that are there, that are in the family. That's all we can do. If we had extra meals,
there haven't been extra meals. I mean, they've been picking them all up, right?
We did this week. That 1 week though, when Trump made that announcement, that's the only week we really had extra. We went out of 170. Mm-hmm. That was all we could make, and we were making it right until we actually stayed out there till 12:15 that day. I talked to Sally, and I think we're going to go up to like 170 or 175 for next week. Because if the 20-25 kids from Bisbee don't come to ours once they figure out what Bisbee's doing, because Bisbee changed theirs now too, and they're doing the same thing as us.
Yeah, but
they're
we're
five
doing
breakfasts
it every day.
And 5 lunches because they're saving money on gas, which is gas plus how many times they got to go to the public, plus all that stuff. So that's why we did what we did. It only made sense, And so now we're starting to see more people go
can
to the public.
Can you call my mom and tell her that, please?
You can't call me, remind me tomorrow, I'll give her a call. So next week we're doing spaghetti and whatever you say?
Spaghetti, peanut butter and jelly, a ham and cheese.
Mexican meal, right?
Mexican
tacos.
Meal, probably tacos.
Beans.
And stuff.
The sandwiches.
Well, we got our freezer's full.
Mm-hmm. I put lettuce in
and let me tell you, if you like pancakes, have I got a deal for you? Holy Lord, we have 18 cases of pancakes. We sent 2 breakfasts of pancakes home last week. We're probably going to send 2 more breakfasts.
Good.
Well, we got some food the other day, and my 1-year-old daughter is enjoying it.
Oh yeah, I think it's good stuff. I mean, it's just so much, and when you get it, it's in there, and then the food just keeps coming because of commodities and stuff. So, it's like, I was glad we ran out, but then I felt bad because we had, like 40, there were a lot of, this one guy came and even one of my sixth graders, he came up by himself and got his spook. Well, then he went home, and then mom brought everybody else in the van, and he was riding in the van, and he had to stand there and take care of the baby, and they were coming, and they didn't want any homework, they wanted food, and we were out. So he was the only one that got food. I bet he had to give it back. I bet he had to share it with everybody. So he thought he was doing good until then. So, so anyway, we're getting it out next week. If you hear anything from anybody, we're serving on Tuesday, not Monday, because it's Easter Monday. So hopefully we don't have any issues. We'll get that on the website, and we'll probably do a call next Tuesday. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And then let's see. We had a roofing guy come. We've been having some issues with leaks. Depending upon the building, I could take you around to where we're having the biggest issues. But what he's finding up, what he found on this roof, there were two things. One is there's a leak by one of the, I don't remember what they call these stupid things that where the water's supposed to run off. But anyway, there's a gap where there's a hole where the water's actually just going down into the drywall and everything.
Ooh.
And so he said that's going to cause us some real serious damage. We need to get that fixed. And we've got different leaks. And the problem you get, you can go around and look at the brown spots on the ceiling and you can get where there was a leak, but it'll leak one place and then it runs along a beam and then it'll drop off. So the leak might be way over here, but we got a spot in the middle of the room, you know?
So what does that E mean up there?
That was Tracy.
Huh?
That was Tracy.
That was back from when they had science in here.
Oh, E.
Yeah,
oh.
She did the thing.
Oh, gotcha. Oh. Hmm.
So, let's see, what else do I got for you? So anyway, we're getting three bids. Our plan is that when we get the third bid, we'll write it up and we're going to send it to the FSB board, and then we'll try to get them to pay for fixing this roof and that roof. That roof actually probably is worse, needed to be totally replaced, and he found some places where he stepped on a gap between the two parts of the roof, and the water just came pouring out.
Oh my
God. So he said this building's really uneven, and they've tried to put some stuff on it, and it's dried and it's cracked, so the water's gone into the crack, so it's gotten under. And over there, there's some definite damage. And he said it could be from the wind, it could be, you know, anything. But he said we really should have the roof fixed on both of these. And it's enough of an expense that should be able to send it to the FSB and get that done, hopefully. So that's another thing.
When we had this building done, it was a nightmare, huh? I mean, in the west of the pines, there was grass growing out of the corners at the top of the building, you know. I mean, it was a nightmare. I mean, it was...
With all the termites...
It was awful, wasn't it?
It's like, I mean, it was... Things, we have things we have to fix, you know, but now, for the most part, we've got our HVAC working. But we are... This is going to be a pretty spendy thing. Did you get the bids from him today?
No.
Not yet? Okay. And then we've got another guy from over in Sierra Vista that we're going to have come out next Tuesday, and we'll have him go through and get us the third bid, and then we're going to get everything sent into the FSB, and hopefully they'll accept it. And right now there doesn't seem to be a ton of stuff coming, but I just have a feeling as more people have time to stand around,
that's what I'm worried about.
Problems,
it could snowball.
Yeah.
Honest.
So we want to make sure we get that taken care of. Number nine. We may need to have a work session. It may be right at the end of the month, depending upon when we pick to have our meeting in May. With that work session, I would like to, if we do that, I would like to talk about classroom teaching assignments, classified assignments, custodial and maintenance restructuring, you know, what we're going to do with the library, or ideas on what we can do with the library is probably a better way to say it. And if there's anything else that we want to change or alter how it's been done to how maybe we would like to try to do something, I'll try to have all that together. I just don't know if I'll have that in 2 weeks or... What? So I just wanted to put it out there that we may have to call a special meeting. Otherwise, maybe we can cover it all at the regular meeting. That would be great.
Now, have you talked to, isn't Armando your head custodian?
Armando is, yeah.
Now, have you talked to him about what he thinks about the restructuring
yes.
thing? And does
Armando,
he feel like...
Armando and I have talked about that quite a bit. And
so does he kind of lean in the same way?
Yeah, I think that we both agree there's... that we would probably would be better off if we did some different things.
Yeah.
It's just to sit down. Really, what you have to do is you have to sit down and you have to kind of write out a schedule without putting anybody on that schedule.
Right.
That this is, these are the different time frames you want somebody working. This is what this job would have to do. This is what this job would have to do. This is what this job would have to do.
We have two positions that are kind of iffy, one a health thing and one kind of somebody wanting to knock back their hours. So have you guys kind of kicked that around as far as what the necessity is and what something maybe isn't a necessity?
Yeah, I've been looking at that. And yeah. Actually, Armando and I have had quite a few talks about it, so I still feel pretty confident that he and I have talked about
you'll figure it
a
out.
Lot of this stuff.
Yeah,
yeah the both of those concerns are still out there. I thought we had one of the custodians was going to retire, but they decided the day after the board meeting that they weren't going to retire. So we don't have one less person. We still have all of them in the mix.
But it's an at-will position.
They are all at-will.
And so you don't have to have a reason to terminate anybody.
No.
And that's, we just, there's not a need for it.
Right.
Then that's
all. You have to come up with a way that you're going to fill the position and you're going to probably have to do interviews or whatever.
Right.
So that's... But I guess that's why I'd like to finalize that and then be able to sit down with you guys and talk about it so you understand what I'm thinking all the way through it.
And what about the librarian thing?
Well, that's the other thing. I thought we had a person that was on staff that has done that, and she has, and she really, 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 really liked being in the classroom and working with kids. Any way that she could do that, she would prefer to do that. She also does all of our detentions and things. So
are you thinking about going public? Or
we will probably have.
Let me know, because we had like an issue with somebody whenever Jewel was out, and it got really ugly. And
well, I don't know how
that
we
person
have to
could
post
very
it
possibly.
It's a part-time position, and it really
right.
doesn't have to be. It's a para position, is what it is right,
right
now. Is what we would be paying it at. So it. I mean, it could be, you could post it as a library para. We could post it as just a para.
Mm-hmm.
It's also one where if you had somebody that was a part-time person, maybe, and they had the ability to do that, maybe, you know, I don't know. I've had a couple of different people ask me about it, so on staff and whatever.
So you may be able to go in-house, possibly.
We'll see, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, whenever Jewel had her medical thing, we had somebody that came in and was filling that position temporarily, and then what ended up happening was when Jewel was coming back, this individual bullied her into not coming back. And then I found out about it. She said, well, you know this person. I said, well, that if you want to come back? She goes, oh, yeah, I want to come back. She just is bullying me to not come back. And I'm like, that's not okay. So anyway, long story short, she went away like she was supposed to initially. Jewel came back, and it's been just like great ever since. So.
Yes. And I may have some other things, too. One of the things that we talked about, I don't remember when, in one of my updates or if it was at a meeting, but I think I mentioned one thing that we could think about at least looking into is if you hear of things... Mm-hmm. Once we have all of these audits and everything done, one thing that some of the staff are doing is some of the places are doing when they have trouble finding teachers and whatever, they have places for them to live. Like Bowie has a house and they rent it out to 3 or 4 teachers and things like that. So there's a possibility that something like that might come up that we might maybe look at if once we know where we're at solid with funding and things. That's a possibility, too, where you could have it, where you could rent it out to a couple of teachers. You could get back what your payment is. They would have a place close to live by the school and, you know, things like that. So there's some of that going out there, too.
If I may, I just wanted to mention that whoever might come in to the library position will need some training on the library computer system. Jewel is so competent with it that I've sort of lost track of, you know, she hasn't needed a lot of help or needed me to be involved much, but it would be iffy for me to know enough to train someone new. So if there could in any way have either the kind of the company provides training or if Ms. Jewel could give some training.
I think Jewel would stick around.
To someone to make sure that they know. I don't think it's super complicated, but it would be good if whoever we have come in just be aware that they're going to need some training on the computer system.
And Jewel's been so great. She would be a good one to help them kind of get off the ground, huh? Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good idea.
Let's see. Do we have anything left? Oh, I was going to explain about grades. Just so we have a lot of questions about that the last few days again. So with grades, basically what the state told us is this. Students cannot get a grade lower than what the last day of class that they had. Okay, so if
they can't get a grade lower,
right?
Okay.
So anything that we do with education and packets and things can only benefit them in their grade. It cannot hurt them in their grade. So if they don't have the ability to go online, they don't get here for packets. Whatever it is. So the students that we have that. What I did was I said, Ms. Morgan, I know you don't have anything to do. Would you do me a favor and query all of our students that have at least one D or a D minus and one F? And she got me a very, very, very long list.
You have a D and an F.
And it's depending upon
at least one class.
You know, so when you start averaging it, if you got a D minus and an F and then your other grade wasn't very good, you know, you are really failing.
Yeah.
You know, and so those are the kids we're really looking at with this work, and we're trying to make sure that they do the packets, and then the teachers are going to basically give grades, but those grades will be extra credit. So every grade, I had Julie send a thing home to the teachers today because one of them didn't totally understand, and I know a couple of other ones didn't. So she just explained to them that basically every one of your assignments you put in is worth 0 points. So if a kid doesn't do it, they get a 0 out of 0, and that's okay. But if they do it, then you assign the extra credit. And then it's up to the teacher to figure out how they assign that extra credit. And then I send a follow-up email just giving them ideas. What I don't want is like if a teacher does a two-week packet and there's 100 questions, I don't want them to make each question worth 2 points and give somebody 200 extra credit points for doing one packet, and they don't do another thing the whole time, and they failed 2 or 3 quarters, and all of a sudden they're getting a B for the year, you know, because they got a couple hundred extra credit points. So the teachers have to be a little understanding in what kind of point totals have we had throughout the year. So we're going to give extra credit, but we're going to give extra credit reasonably.
But what if they lose steam? And they really don't turn in anything. Let's just say that they just, because this is going to be like summer to them right
this
now.
This is,
you know.
Well, and, you know, the state superintendent, when she came out with what she told us that she expected from us, was she said, we don't have any control. We don't know what's going on living-wise. We don't know how many kids are going to or members of their families are going to get this. We don't know what they're going through. They're losing their regular day. This is going to have a mental health impact on students, especially the young ones, really, really, you know, really could affect them. So this is what we're saying. No kid can walk out of school at the end of the year with a grade lower than they had at the start when they walked out of here, whether you had spring break or
whatever. They do nothing at all or whatever.
Even if they do nothing at all, if they had a B average, they still have a B average. But if they were that borderline kid that, you know what, I really have an F average. If I go and I do 3 extra credit packets, I might have a D minus now so I can pass.
Right.
Because if they don't, I can tell you this right now, I'm going to make some people very unhappy. But if they're not, they weren't passing and they do nothing, they're not going to pass.
They're getting retained.
So if Brisa had, sorry about using you for an example, but let's just say social studies and science were her thing. She failed both of them
and did
no homework. But she liked math, so she did her math homework, and she didn't mind writing for Mr. Page, so she did that. But she didn't do anything in the other classes. She might advance from 6th grade to 7th grade, but she's taking 6th grade science and social studies over again.
Well, I hate to jump the gun.
And I can do that with
saying,
the schedule.
They're saying in the fall that we might get better with the virus over the summer.
And it might get worse.
And then it could get worse in the fall.
Yeah.
So let's say that everything gets back to normal and then they come back to school and this crap starts all over again. We're going to be right back where these kids are treading water again.
Right.
You know?
Well, and, you know, there's so many ifs and ands with all that. But what they're hoping is, first of all, the anaplasma or whatever they call it, that the people that had it, mm-hmm. once you have it, if you can take that plasma from a person who had it and survived and give it to somebody who actually has gotten that disease, that will give them, hopefully, the ability to get over that disease because you fought it. We're going to be closer to a vaccine, but vaccines generally take over a year to get. They may have some medications figured out. So, I mean, if we get another run of it, great, but if they have all of the things that they need, if they have the ventilators, they have the medication, all that, we're not going to be looking at everything shutting down. But they might turn around and they might recommend that you shut down, you know, you might shut down school for 2 weeks or something.
Right.
But we're not going to look at a 2.5 month shutdown.
And it's going to be 200. It's going to be 200. It's going to be 100 degrees here, so maybe kill that darn thing off.
Oh yeah, it'll die here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a matter of, you know, if Mr. Umlo can keep the base under control and keep them out of that air conditioned barracks and make them go out and sweat that disease off and they don't spread it. But you know, I mean, I think we're going to be okay down here. It's just a matter of. You get into those bigger areas like Phoenix and some of the Tucson, some of them are, there's a lot of people that have it up there in that Phoenix area.
Well, they said there's no Bisbee cases, and there haven't been Bisbee cases. They said there haven't been.
54 years old.
And that's scary. I mean, but they got people that 17-year-old died. I mean, they're young people.
Where, in Phoenix?
No, I don't know where. That was out east someplace.
One of my coworkers, her cousin, she brought it from Florida. She was in Florida. She came home at the beginning of March, and she passed away at the end of March.
How old is she?
54.
Yeah. So
wow.
All right. So that's, unless you guys have questions, that's all I got for you.
I have not.
One question.
Yes.
There's a lot of talk about students that were supposed to graduate, and.
There you go.
What are we going to do? What can we do? I got an email today, and the ones that are having high school graduations are struggling with what they're going to do. Douglas is going to have their board was voting on it tonight, so I don't know if they decided to do it or not, but it sounded like they were going to have each family have
graduation.
A car, and they were going to line up in alphabetical order, and they were going to parade through town and then show up by the football field, and everybody was going to be handed a diploma.
In the car?
That was how they were going to do it. I read, in the car. They're going to get up in the car. Jackie Clay sent out a thing from somebody that wrote, they were trying to give Sierra Vista ideas. And they said that they would do an alphabetical graduation where they would bring the kids in and put them on one side of the bleachers, one letter, or so many kids of one letter. And then their parents could sit on the other side, and then they could walk up and get their diploma and walk off and do their tassel. And then 10 minutes, they had 20-minute increments to do.
The 24-hour graduation party.
And then they would, that it would take 2 days to do, was Sierra Vista a graduation that big? I don't know. But that's what they were thinking.
So they're not even allowing people to go to funerals, you know? And
no.
At all. I don't know if it's really worth the risk.
I mean, my mom's in an old folks home up in northern Minnesota, and my sister was just talking to me, and she said, you know, something happens with mom, we're going to be doing
that.
Virtual.
Did you know that Rosa's dad passed away?
Who?
Rosa Ramirez.
Oh, no.
Her dad, she used to be a school board member.
Oh, from the bank.
Yes. Rosa? Her dad.
He hasn't. No, I've been doing good. My dad worked with him in the mines for a long, long time.
He passed away Saturday, but they're keeping it really You know, because they can't do anything. Because
we still have this ranch down there. Huh?
Well, they had that one family out in New Jersey that had a wedding, and like three or four of the people died, and like six or seven of them got sick with coronavirus. So that's all I got for you, Jim. Did I answer your question?
Yeah. Okay. I guess I'll have to play it by ear. And
yeah.
I mean, they were saying that maybe like in June, you know, like at the end of June when supposedly everything's going to be calming down, like maybe just do like a cookout for the eighth graders. I mean, people were...
What we talked about was probably the last time we do the packet with the kindergartners, we'll send their certificate home.
Well, it's terrible to not celebrate it, but a lot of people don't have kindergarten graduations anyway.
Right.
But
and then the eighth grade one, what I told the kids was, we just have to see.
Well, and it's scary. I mean, it could really, you don't want to do something you could regret, you know. And like, remember that guy in Florida, he decided he's going to go ahead and have church, and they put him in jail out of his choir. I mean, it's a huge church. I saw it on the news.
Oh, yeah.
45 people out of the 60 people in the choir got the coronavirus, and they're only there for one service.
Yeah. And I think didn't some of them die?
Two of them at least died with a first time around. Yeah.
We'll keep an eye on. I've had some kids. I had the one girl who would have been valedictorian.
Oh no.
she said, "Are we valedictorian?"
Tell her to come to one of our board meetings. She'd sit right there and we'll like hoot and holler for her. She can tell us to give us her speech.
A lot of them are just canceling them all together, and then they can have a barbecue at the end,
I mean, for right now, pretty much all of Southern Arizona has canceled their graduation prom.
Everything.
The project graduation and all that.
They're not having any of that, huh?
No, right. Nothing.
So what do? It's kind of unpredictable right now. So.
Well.
All right.
We have. If we could talk about when that next meeting would be.
What's our first Tuesday?
First Tuesday is the 5th, and that's available.
Because what does we have in our policy manual? Isn't it supposed to be the first
it's
Tuesday?
It's supposed to be the first Tuesday unless you...
A lot of times things happen the first week, though, you know, of the month.
And then because of the budget, it just gave you a little bit more time to...
Well, we're going to need to do a budget revision that is due to the state May 15th.
May 15th. We have to have it done by May 15th.
Either.
Well, what? The 15th. I mean, there's. We could go the 12th, and that way, if we had things to meet on, we could do a work session or a closed. If we had to talk about specific personnel, we could have a special meeting for what I talked about on number 9. There, we could do something like that.
Like on the 12th.
We could do the board meeting on the 12th to do the budget
revision. Right.
That would give her more time. And then if I have everything ready, we could have a short meeting on the 5th to do that, to talk through that personnel stuff. That way you would have it on the 5th, and then you'd have a whole week to chew on it, and then we could vote on it on the 12th.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, so that the 5th will be optional. We'll make sure that I'm ready and then the 12th will be the regular meeting.
Okay.
Thank you.
There you go. I'm glad you had that.
What did our meeting start at? 17:17?
5:17.
Okay.
That's what I had.
Are we going to be doing an adjournment here?
Yeah, let me put these reminders, because otherwise I'll forget.
And you're the young one.
Yeah, I got a pretty demanding job.
I have a pretty demanding family.
Hey, everybody, I have a pretty demanding life right now myself.
All right. So I would like to make a motion to adjourn this meeting.
Second that motion.
Just a second.
Aye.
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 Time.
6:56. Did it just hit 57? I can't tell.
57.
Okay, I'll change mine.